May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Imagine you are in Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago, the day that we observe today in Scripture, when Jesus entered the city on the back of a young donkey. It is early spring, the time for the celebration of the Passover, the most sacred of Jewish holidays, remembering the time in Exodus when God delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. It was a time of pilgrimage to the holy center of the Jewish faith. The city was overflowing with an ever-increasing number of faithful Jews arriving from all across the Roman world, hordes of people drawn together to celebrate one of their most sacred feasts at their most sacred site. And for the center of this feast, each family group would prepare a lamb. The day Jesus rode into Jerusalem was actually the day in the Jewish calendar that the lambs would be selected for slaughter. At this feast, the people would remember the blood of the sacrificed lambs sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintels of the homes of their enslaved ancestors, the blood which brought them salvation from the angel of death and salvation from their oppressors. Jesus and his disciples too traveled to Jerusalem for this holy time of year. The disciples went ahead into the city, not only to secure a donkey as instructed, but to make arrangements for the Passover feast, the Seder, that they would share together later that week in the upper room. Meanwhile, there were others coming to Jerusalem, not Jewish pilgrims. The Roman governor of Judea with his massive entourage was also making his way to the city, Pontius Pilate. Pilate didn't rule from Jerusalem. He lived in a very splendid city on the coast most of the time, about 60 miles west. But at times of major festivals, it was important and quite customary to ensure a military presence when Rome's occupied people would gather in great numbers for special occasions. And it was considered especially necessary at this feast because it celebrated the Jewish people's liberation from an earlier empire. It was a no-brainer to be concerned about what trouble could erupt. Pilate's procession heading toward the western gate for entrance into Jerusalem would be no different than any other time he would have entered the city for an event. He was mounted, seated high above the foot travelers, leading Roman soldiers on horseback or on foot, centurions clad in leather armor, hammered metal helmets on their heads, and swords at their sides, and in their hands more weapons, spears or bows. Metal golden eagles, a symbol of Rome's might and power, held aloft on high poles at the front of every column. You would be able to hear them coming for miles, the rhythmic march of thousands of feet to beating drums, the hoofbeats of powerful horses. All the trappings of power and might. There was absolutely no doubt in the minds of those lining the routes toward the city what kind of force was moving towards the town. No doubt who was truly in charge. I'm not sure the crowds lining the streets to the western gate would have been cheering much as the Roman procession approached and entered the city. But what about Jesus' procession? It was more of a throng, really, centered around Jesus, who is riding low on the young donkey. It was heading into Jerusalem on the opposite side of the city, heading towards the east gate. And on this side, the crowds were going wild. Just as Zechariah had promised, the king was coming to Zion, to Jerusalem, humble and riding on a donkey. So much noise, but not the marching of feet, the drumming of drums, or the clinking of armor and bridles. It was the sound of cheering, of joy, of welcoming Jesus, the one now commonly hailed as the Messiah, a long-awaited and hoped-for king, was approaching the city. His reputation had preceded him. This miracle worker who only a week ago had raised a dead man to life after 4 days in the tomb. This amazing teacher who offered, even to the lowliest in their society, compassion and love and worth. This inspiring orator who had been talking about a new kind of kingdom for 3 years, a kingdom that was now at hand, imminent. Change must be coming. A new kingdom that must mean, could mean, freedom and liberation from the current one. People poured out to receive the prophesied one, and they shouted and yelled, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us. Hosanna to the Son of David." It was a mighty song, full of hope and national spirit. Jesus, from Davidic lineage, was the Messiah for whom they had been waiting, from whom they expected the restoration of the glory and splendor and independence of the nation of Israel, as it had been in the time of his ancestor, King David. Time that was the greatest period of Israel's history. Hosanna, Hosanna. It was the kind of song you sang at a victory parade, a song not only of celebration, but profound hope. There could not have been a greater contrast on display that day in Jerusalem. Two vastly different processions representing two vastly different kingdom. And it was no accident. Jesus had, in fact, orchestrated his entrance just for this purpose. It was a counter procession to Pilate's. Jesus had planned it that way, very carefully, like a demonstration, coming in through the opposite gate of the city from Pilate. No impressive horse, no soldiers, no weapons, no force, no might. It was his final opportunity to demonstrate to the largest crowds possible, for over 200,000 people had come to Jerusalem. A time to demonstrate a completely new vision of what kingship and kingdom could be. And it was so not what was going on at the opposite gate of Jerusalem. Even so, not everybody got it. They longed for a better world, as we long for a better world today, free from violence and oppression, with equity and justice and enough for all. How else could they get this? Unless they fought for it, unless they too could wield power and fight might with might. This morning in their theater piece, the children echoed some questions that may have crossed the minds of many lining the road. Well, if he's a king, he must be big and powerful, but Why is he riding on a donkey? Don't kings have horses? Where are his soldiers? Don't all kings have soldiers? How could this humble, lowly peasant on a borrowed donkey with no entourage, no army to back him, possibly lead a revolt to topple the Roman overlords? In the end, for many, it was too difficult to grasp, too difficult to trust what Jesus had been preaching for years, of a kingdom that does not rely on might, rather a king that rules out of love, of the liberation, the freedom, the salvation that is available to all in here, no matter what is going on out there. Because in the end, Jesus came not to fulfill the will of man by stepping into a warrior's boots, but to fulfill the will of his Father. Jesus came not to conquer earthly foes, but to conquer every kind of oppression that enslaves our hearts and prevents us from becoming the whole and complete beings that God, out of love, wishes each one of us to be. Every kind of oppression that prevents us from being united with him and one another in peace and love. That prevents us from willingly entering into this alternate way of being truly alive as a member of the kingdom of God. We've heard about it. We've read about it. We've studied about it with the benefit of hindsight and scripture and history. Even so, do we trust enough to follow him there? Or are we also too fettered to this world, this earthly kingdom? Imagine you are in Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago. At which gate are you standing? Imagine yourself today, right now, singing Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to the King of Kings. For he too is here right now, just as present for us today as he was to the crowds lining the road into Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago. Will you choose him as your king? Amen.